Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
To our mates at King G, welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome. Lovely to have your company on this Saturday afternoon, and so good to have the company of Mark Geyer. Welcome, MG.
Hello, Tone. Hello, Gerds. Hello, Rudy. Hello, listeners. Great. Yeah. Can't wait for this Saturday Scrum to unfold. Lots to talk about.
Good. So much to get to. Gerds, good to have you. And Rudy, welcome back. Obviously, a couple of weeks off. You were playing some football, hacking people down, I understand. Is that what's going on?
Karma got me, though, Tone. What happened? Calf muscle popped about 5 minutes after I chopped a bloke down. So there's a lesson in that, isn't there?
Wow.
Anyway, I'm out for a month or so. Right. More chances to appear on the Saturday show, mate.
Soft tissue injuries, they're a problem.
Old man's injury, the calf. Yeah, old man's
soft,
injury.
Soft something.
Can I just before we go on, Rudy, can I say to you, stop tipping the Broncos?
I mean, you
must, because in the tipping competition in the newspaper.
What am I coming?
I don't think you're close to last.
I was beating Buzz Rothfield last time I looked.
So he always has to tip the Sharks.
Yes,
we're loyal. People who are loyal at the expense of actual any knowledge. People don't assume that, you know, you're going from, you only got
That's
seven
games.
That's
a bigger games. Problem, Tony. You're missing the bigger problem here.
Oh, what was that?
It's an out for Reedy. So when he's at the bottom, because he's got no faith in the way that he tips, not just that game, but the other games on a weekend, when people come to him and say, why are you doing so poorly? He says, because I did the Broncos. Yeah. It's a bigger issue, Tony.
Dr. Gerdler.
You're just scratching the surface.
Wow. So he's got.
I say to him every week, Reedy, stop tipping him. Like, they come up against Penrith and Melbourne, and he tips, and he knows they're not going to win.
Yeah.
So why is he doing it?
Well, why are you doing
because
it?
Because imagine if they win one of those games and I haven't tipped them.
So what, you'd just be wrong again like you are often?
It'd be soul destroying. No, I'll keep tipping them.
Okay.
I've got faith in them. Right. The Kevolution.
He's out, Tony.
I've got faith in the Kevolution.
Have you? Okay, 46 points to 6, Kevolution last night. Got rolled by the Eels. Does a look at that Tyre Power scoreboard. We'll get to that game very shortly. We'll hear from Kevy as well. He was a bit feisty in the dressing room post-game as opposed to pre-game last week. South Sydney and the Tights. What a classically fun game of footy that was. 40-30. We're going to chat with Benji Marshall, who was absolutely awesome. In about half an hour, we'll chat with Benji. So there's that one. And, of course, on Thursday night, the round kicked off with the Panthers just too good for the Knights. The Knights were good. 24-6, but the Panthers just look like the better team because they are the better team. That's how they've been playing all year. And it's interesting to see who can roll them. We'll get to that in a little while as well. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to tomorrow afternoon, the SCG Anzac Day game. No matter how many times you go there, and the same as watching it, sometimes I thought, do we do the service every game? Every game, get a little bit of tingle up and down the spine.
And especially that one, how good was the one in Darwin last night? You know, that was
awesome.
Really special. So many big moments have been produced on Anzac Day in those clashes that we're going to see tomorrow here at 4 o'clock between, you know, the Dragons and the Roosters, Tone. Any of the recent ones stick out in your mind?
Oh, there's been a few.
The Dufty try?
The Dufty try. Well, the Ben Cray try for
Ben
years.
Cray,
it was absolutely brilliant. There was field goal for St. George as well. I can't remember the St. George victories. St. George
selective
victories.
Selective memory.
I think there may have been some Roosters victories along the way, but it is an amazing day. Mm. And as you said, it has been terrific so far. You guys obviously, you know, you play in Anzac Tests. Clearly.
Yeah, so it was, there was tests back when we were playing. So played New Zealand on Anzac, it was called the Anzac Test, and it wasn't always on Anzac Day. I think they used to have it, we maybe had a weekend off or whatever it was, and we got to play the Kiwis, and lots of emotion around that tone. Like, it's great, I think, as a club to be able to go and, you know, stand there in front of the Anzacs, but there's something even a little bit more special, I think, when you put on the green and gold and represent your country against another country on an Anzac Day.
Yeah.
Always lots of emotion.
Yeah, both the nations involved in the Anzac just beating the crap out of each other.
It's the ultimate pump up when you're standing there on the field and they're playing the last post. Yep. And I've got it. You know, my grandfather served in World War II, and you think about the sacrifices as young kids made for us to have a better life. And it's just, I went to the 100-year anniversary at Gallipoli I think 2015, and just the stories of the heroics of these young kids. Most of them fudge their age so they could go.
Yeah.
You know, most of them were 16, 17 because they wanted to go and fight for our country. And the history of that is just, when you're standing on a footy field about to play a game, it kind of puts it all in perspective.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, MG. And as I said, as I'm watching each one of the three that have unfolded so far, I thought, you know, will it be kind of lesser returns? But it's not. Every time that bugle goes to the lips, it is quite amazing and beautiful. Mm-hmm. For those people
and what
who
on to the crowds too, Tony. What on to the crowds for showing their respect as well. What on, especially we were at Penrith Park on Saturday. Thursday night, Gerds, and that you could hear a pin drop. It was amazing. Well done to the crowds for respecting it.
The Eels 46, the Broncos 6 in the heat of Darwin. I think it was about 32 degrees at kickoff, 70% humidity, tough conditions. Xavier Coates drops the ball from the kickoff, tackle 4. Mike Acevo scores in the corner. It's going to be a tough night when that is your opening few minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a really horrible start. It was always going to be interesting to see how they backed up after that performance against Penrith last week, who basically we got out of that where the Broncos can go.
Yep.
And they kind of set a standard for themselves that they need to try and achieve on a weekly basis. Now, Parramatta are always going to be hard coming off that win against Canberra last week. They were super impressive, and it was never going to be a game that was always going to go in the Broncos' favour, obviously. But when things went against the Broncos, I think that's when it got really disappointing. Their resilience just wasn't there, as you said. You know, error off the kickoff, you get that happens, but you're fresh. You need to be able to defend that just to start off on the right foot. The simple things for the Broncos is what worked against Penrith. You know, they got to the end of their sets. Their kicking game was good. Their chase was good. Now, the Broncos are always, when you go through their roster, in my opinion, they're going to have issues creating opportunities. Asako is not a fullback that really plays out the back of shape that well. He's a good runner of the football. You've got two halves at the moment that really aren't finding their feet on the back of a little bit of momentum when it's generated through, you know, a pack that can go forward and has moments in games where they need to be taking a little bit more advantage of what they are. Jake Turpin probably not providing enough out of dummy half. So they're your three sort of main playmakers there at the moment that you're not getting enough out of. And then a lot of clubs these days have their 13 playing as an extra set of hands. Now, Carrigan's a great footy player.
Yep.
He'll make you 50 tackles, but he's not a guy that's going to give you any opportunities with the football again. So they're down on variation. So it's all about effort for the Broncos at the moment until they can change their roster and get some guys in key positions that can create opportunities, which is obviously really what they're trying to do at the moment with recruitment.
Well, there's a couple of things for me, right? Over the opening seven weeks of the season, a couple of things that stood out for me. Their salary cap's completely out of shape. I mean, they don't have any money in their halves. Well, Milford, they've got $1 million, and Milford is playing reserve grade. They've got $3 million, a third of their salary cap on middle forwards. Matt Lodge, Tevita Pangai,
Haas.
Thomas Flegler, Payne Haas. Mm. It's just completely askew. It's completely awry, and that cannot work. And that's why they're going to go to market. Obviously, they're going to go and try and sign a halfback. I mean, we've heard the names, Adam Reynolds. I think they'll have a go at every halfback that's on the market right now. They'll have a go at Sean Johnson. They'll have a go at Adam Reynolds. They'll have a go at Mitchell Moses until they land one of them, because the Dearden thing's not working out. I mean, Dearden's, at the moment, he's almost going backwards, Tommy Dearden.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if Brisbane just say to him, mate, if you want to go to the Cowboys, go. And they can use that money to go and have a red hot go at those other guys I mentioned. The other thing for me, if you're struggling, your attitude's got to be right. They missed 51 tackles last night. Mm-hmm. 51 tackles. That is an attitude thing.
Yeah.
That's pure attitude.
That right edge let in 6 tries.
It's just terrible. And I feel a bit for Kevy because he's inherited this squad, he's inherited this issue, but they're not getting better. And they need to get better. Fast.
MG, Payne Haas, Tevita Pangai scores that try that kind of gets them early in then. They've got those big forwards moving okay at that stage of the game. Without Payne Haas, it would have been incredibly ugly.
Well, and the fact that he's observing Ramadan at the moment as well, being a Muslim, game last night was heroic, 170 metres or something, and they take him out of the team. And that was just a false dawn last week against Penrith, I think. They got up for that game and you look at their spine, it's probably up there with the, not up there, down there with the worst in the competition. I don't know where to start if you're Kevy Walters. I felt for him. I'm one with Gerds. Last week he gave that speech before the game started, and we thought, okay, well, he maybe got one or two of them in a year. Then last night he did the same thing when the game had finished with the jersey in his hand, saying, you know, you can read between the lines and say he was saying that you guys want to bleed for this jersey. Well, good luck, because you're not at the moment. But I think it was more about Parramatta, to be honest. I thought the way they bounced back last week after coming like a big win over Canberra. I thought maybe they might struggle a little bit. There'd been a little bit of drama in their camp through the week, in the papers for the wrong reasons, and that kind of always, when you've got a camera crews at your house for anything but football, it's always a worry. But the signings of a few blokes in particular, and one justified it last night, but Papali'i is unbelievable. Tom Obercik has been fantastic for them. That was one of their real problems defensively in the centres last year with Waka Blake and Michael Jennings. Well, that's not Niri Cora in the centres with Obercik. They're one of the best centre pairings in the comp at the minute.
Yeah.
And as for Bryce Cartwright, well, welcome back, son. Welcome back. I haven't seen him play a game like that, honestly, since his early days at Penrith when he was 20 or 21. And I watched Bryce Cartwright all his career. He was a year above my son coming through footy. And so I'd get there early. I'd stay back after my son's game just to watch him play. And he was a beast. He was like Fifita last night.
MG, I saw him play. I think he's playing for the Gold Coast against Parramatta at Bankwest Stadium, and standing on the stands there and listening to the Eels fans give it to him, because it was around that time where he wasn't aiming up defensively.
100%.
He was standing on the wing. He just didn't want to be there. He had so much going on. He goes to this club, and Brad Arthur, it's kind of, he seems to operate in a simplistic fashion, but it works for guys, and it's worked for
redemption.
Him.
It's a redemption.
Everyone's
story.
Been waiting for that with Bryce, because everyone could see it. You know, he's a big body. Defensively, he's actually, when he came through the system out there, he's aggressive and he's got great timing. So all the fundamentals, all the basics were there, but then he just got caught or lost in the whole, you know, I've got to be the best offloader. I want to create opportunities. 5'8".
He thought he was a 5'8" goods.
So then, you know, it just simplified his game. All of his skill will come out on the back of him running hard and tackling hard, and that's exactly what Brad Arthur's doing. But everyone's talking about Mitchell. The good thing about the Eels is, and why I think they've progressed from probably the last couple of years, is they've got so many different ways to win a footy game, and we've seen it so far this year. You know, they've beaten some good, you know, they did a job on Canberra last week down there. That's not an easy place to go and win. And I think they've really spread the load in relation to who handles all the pressure. So it's always been, if you think about Mitchell Moses' career, he's always been in clubs or in organisations where if he doesn't really play well, that club generally didn't win. The Tigers, when he was there, he needed to be their kind of main guy. And and with the Eels over the last couple of years, if he won, you know, he was the hero. If they lost, he was the villain. Now he's got guys like Reed Marnie who's come into his own, taking a lot of pressure off him, Dylan Brown in their own way. So Mitchell can now go out on a weekend against, you know, good opposition and have an okay game, not have to be the star, but then also not have to wear the loss, because he's got other people in that organisation now that are taking a hell of a lot of pressure off him, and it allows him just to sit back and play his own game. And he wasn't great last night, Mitch, but gee, I'll tell you what, the little things that he did really well, and there was plenty of other guys on there that were just you know, getting the job done.
I think the other thing about Bryce Cartwright that's worth noting is I think he's got his life right off the field, and he had some distractions off the field over the past 4 or 5 years. He had some issues going on and some struggles, and I think he's fixed that part of his life up. And generally, when you get off the field right, on the field works for you, right? Mm. The other guy we didn't mention is Isaiah Papali'i.
Is it true that he signed for a six-figure reduction in his pay?
I mean, he's almost the best back row in the competition at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been unbelievable for Parramatta. And I think we talk about him every week, don't we, about how well he's going. But he was amazing again last night.
Yeah, he was. All right, just flipping back to the Broncos, we are going to chat with Kevin Walters at 1:30 today. But we can hear from him now. And obviously, he was post-game disappointed.
Oh, look, it's not a great result. Like, we just didn't control the ball. You know, when you're turning over possession continually, a good side like Parramatta, they'll just roll through you. They've got a big side, and that's what happened. It's pretty clear. I think everyone that saw the game saw what happened. So, yeah, it's really disappointing, but, you know.
Kevin Walters there. Obviously, MG, plenty for him to be disappointed about. As I said, we'll chat with him at 1:30. Mike Acevo, another hat trick for him. He's tough to hold out, isn't he?
He's when he gets early ball, it was a fait accompli that he was going to score his third last night. He got so close so many times. But Kevin, sorry, 5 grand finals he won with that club. He is Broncos. He's the DNA of the club. And the disappointment that he has in his voice when he has at a press conference is profound. You can just hear it coming out. When we do speak to him at 1:30, it's kind of where to from here. Like, what do you do next? Is it, you know, Rudy was speaking about their roster, and he's inherited a pretty ordinary roster. And the coach doesn't make a team miss 50-odd tackles in a game either. But what he must be devoid of answers himself.
Yeah.
And I guess when we spoke about how, you know, he addressed the team before the game at Suncorp last week against Penrith, and how he stood up and said, you know, what the club, what looked like he was, you know, giving them a little bit of a chat about what the club meant to him, what it meant to the fans, and rightly so, because you spoke about his record. But I think he needs to find the hook for the players that aren't buying into that, because, you know, he stood there with the jersey in that last night. That's all well and good. A lot of these guys might come through the system and they might feel real passionate about the club, and that's great. But there's probably some guys there that don't feel that way about the club, and that those that aren't really buying into what the club has been, that are looking to create, you know, their own culture and their own story. So getting those guys to buy in mightn't always just be about the blood and the jersey and whatever it may be. It may be about some other things that you need to find what their hook is to get them engaged in what you're trying to do.
That's so true. I spoke to Paul McGregor, who was on the show last week, just off air, about the same thing with the Dragons. Now, it's all very well for old blokes like me to say they won 11 premierships in a row. But for young guys coming through, that doesn't mean anything to them. It doesn't mean, and so you can't really make that their buy-in. It has to be something else.
And there's a concern that the young guys there are aggressed. You know, you've got guys, I mentioned Dearden before, but you look at Xavier Coates, who, you know, he's off contract at the end of the year. There's clubs chasing him, but Xavier's gone backwards in the past couple of weeks. Jordan Rickey, the guys who are coming through the Broncos system at a time when the Broncos are losing. And I think when you come through, and you guys know better than me, but when you come through in a team that, well, you might know this, in a team that's losing footy games, you almost become used to losing. If you're a young guy, and
it becomes a habit,
you know, it becomes a habit, and you it's hard, it's a hard cycle to break, and it's easy to just go to another club, a club that wins, rather than stay there and dig in for the fight. So, you know, if I'm the Broncos at the moment, I mentioned it wouldn't surprise me if they just let Dearden go, but, you know, they want to keep Coates, but does Xavier want to stay there when his football's going backwards? There doesn't seem to be any blue sky at the joint at the moment, and it just looks like pain for a long time.
Yeah. Now, going into halftime, Fifita scored 3 tries. You think they'd probably get away with it, and he's probably man of the match. Then a man called Benji Marshall decided to put his hand up, age 36, and we'll speak to you a little bit later on. Was sensational. Great fun game of footy to watch, though, Gerds.
Yeah, well, we called that game yesterday. Lots of ebbs and flows, Tony. And, you know, the Titans, after, you know, that pummeling by Manly the week before by 36 points, had to show something back at home against a top-tier team, and they haven't come up against a lot of the top-tier sides so far this year. So it was important they put out a good showing, and I thought that they did for the majority of it. They sort of started pretty well. The Rabbitohs then sort of had the momentum through the middle of that first half, and then Fifita got a couple of tries, and then they scored a miraculous 100-metre try on halfway, just on half-time, just to get him back into the contest. But the Rabbitohs, their ball completion was down in their first half. They went to the Gold Coast for other reasons, it looked like, in the first half, to be honest, and everyone's done it. But then
many times.
In the second half.
And will happen again.
They just clicked in a gear. And they just suffocated the Titans out of that contest. And they got a couple of tough calls, the Titans, I thought, through that one. And some of the refereeing there probably left a little bit to be desired. But no excuses. The Rabbits just found a way to win and got some quality players. And our man Benji.
Yeah, it worries me a little bit, because that second half, the possession was so suddenly, well, intensely towards South Sydney. They got an absolute roll on through restarts of play, several of them 6-agains going on. My only problem with that at the moment is that because of the pace of the game and the 6-again is called and on we go, we never actually see what it's for or whether it's justified. And, you know, I don't know, maybe they all were, but it's kind of, it's a weird thing. It's a
very grey.
It's a grey area for me at the moment, and it's absolutely changed the face of that game.
Well, I'd like to see them with the 6 to go. If it's on the first or second tackle, like, teams are kind of putting up with that fact that they've got a tackle for 6 or 7 or 8 tackles, and that's a penalty. It's a penalty every day of the week if it's on the first or second. If it's on the 3rd, 4th, or 5th, well, that's your fault, because you're going to give another team another 6 tackles. So I reckon you'll see less infringements in the ruck and less 6 to goes if teams know that they're going to get penalised if it's on the first or second.
So you think they're giving away the first or second because, as you said, they're happy to go and tackle.
Yeah, set their line. It's only one extra tackle. Yep.
I'd love to see a breakdown of when it happens. But you're right, MG. I think most of them occur on the first or second tackle, because it's no great issue, is it? But I'd love to see if we could actually get a statistical breakdown of when they're given away, because I think, as you said, the vast majority would be on those first or second tackles. You mentioned a fun game, Tane, I'm not sure it was a fun game for Justin Holbrook because throw away that lead after their performance against Manly, and Justin's put some steel in that place over the past year or so, and it just seems as though the past 2 weeks that steel's gone, and they've just become a bit of a soft touch, really. I mean, they got smashed by Manly, and they got carved up in the second half by South Sydney, and South missed 40-odd tackles in that game and still won. It's remarkable.
David Fifita in the first half, he was like that big kid in the under-8s. Yeah. You know, he was running, he was just pushing people over, going run backwards so he could push somebody else over. He beat seven or five people and one of them twice, I think, in one of his tries. He was absolutely remarkable, untouchable, but then didn't hear his name very much at all in the second half.
Well, they just didn't have any ball in that second period, but that's another part of his game that he needs to develop. And there was also a couple of times in that first half where he probably on that left side, they got broken down and him and Ash Taylor didn't chase as hard as they could have and might have been able to sort of salvage a try or two. But it's just a part of his game that he needs to develop, and that's when things aren't going well. He needs to be the guy to get in there, coming out of his own end, grit the teeth, he's big enough, and get a quick play of the ball and try and generate some momentum through the middle third of the field when the ball's not finding him where he needs it to. So certainly some things to improve on in his game personally, but when he gets the ball and there's a couple of guys in front of him and the try line's close by, we all know the result.
MG, we're going to speak with Benji Marshall very shortly. But, gee, he knows how to think his way through a game of rugby league, doesn't he?
Oh, and he's doing it to him with a smile on his face. He's having the time of his life. He knows that other clubs knocked him back. He knows that it was all coincidental, the fact that him and Wayne Bennett kind of hooked up and it was only like a month before the competition was about to start. So it's one of the best stories of 2021 as far as rugby league goes. Benji's resurrection as far as the Rabbitohs. So last night he's throwing flick passes. He's scoring two tries. He's doing it with a smile on his face. And I bet you there's a few teams who knocked him back who'd be looking at his performance last night going, oh, man, we stuffed up there.
It's not an easy role to emulate, is it, when Cody Walker gets moved from his regular position to bring you in, I'd imagine you'd feel a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
And they just did not, especially when they had the football in the second half, they just didn't miss a beat. The way that they played out the back of shape and the combinations that he's already got, him and Kalau Matangi on that left side were just brilliant. And his ability just to sum up situations and so quickly and then nail the pass were there for all to see. What he really impressed me, though, is the way that he was always pushing up with the football. Staying his job was never done. And those parts of his game, those little parts of his game where he's working really hard in defence and he's pushing through the middle in support are things that, I don't know, the rest of it all comes for Benji, but when he's doing that, he could go on forever.
Yeah, the icing on the cake was that pass, the flick pass to Alex Johnson. That was just a thing of beauty.
Obviously, Adam Reynolds will probably be gone at the end of the year from South, and Benji he won't really talk about going on next year, but when you see him play like that, he's got 12 more months in him, Benji. Yeah.
Well, if they've got a young guy, they've got some young guys coming through the system there, and then Benji
probably aren't
sort of
ready, Gerds, to be fair. Won't be ready next year, so.
Yeah. It could work well.
Adam Reynolds, he kicks a 40-20. His goal kicking's brilliant. He was terrific across the board again last night. You're saying he's not going to be there? There's no way.
Well, no, because he's going to get plenty of money thrown at him, Tone. And South have said we're sticking at 1 year. You know, I think Craig Fitzgibbon will have a look at him for the Sharks. And at the moment, I suspect that's where he'll end up because I think he wants to stay in Sydney. But Brisbane will have a look at him as well. He's going to get plenty of money thrown at him and he'll get more than the year South have offered. So given
what
he's
Parramatta? Maybe Parramatta for
Mitchell Moses. Mitchell Moses has got an option. He's got till round 10 to take up. So Parramatta can't really do anything until they know what Mitchell's going to do. If Mitchell's going to take up that option or not, their hands are tied a little bit because obviously he's on big money and he's their number 7. So they really can't make a move for round 7, another 3 weeks yet.
All right. Well, they didn't go into the abyss, as Wayne Bennett said at halftime. There was the potential for South Sydney. They came back, did the job. Have you got them still up there with the Panthers in terms of
the Rabbits?
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I think they're just in a phase at the moment where they're only playing as good as they need to. What are they, 6-1?
Yep.
And Latrell on the sideline, and they've got plenty of depth and some guys in good form there again, like all those top sides. They don't all need to be at their best at the moment every week to get the job done. And yeah, that's a dangerous sign.
Now, is there any truth? Is there any truth in the story? And I see that Michael Chambers has written it for the Sydney Morning Herald. Headline, Panthers boss wants Burton to backflip on dogs. He says that it would have been the worst move of his career if we let him go, which is true. That happened earlier in the year when Canterbury wanted him to go earlier. He says for his development and his future, this is Fletcher speaking, He would be far better staying with us next year. He's a young bloke and his future would be assured here. He'll keep climbing the ladder with us. I don't know if that will be the case of the Bulldogs. One player can't win games on his own. Now, look, we all understand that the Panthers are flying high. It looks like a great place to be playing football. And he's playing brilliant rugby league within that system. But he signed for the Bulldogs. Mm. Is that still going to go ahead, or are we really looking at something different?
Look, there's truth in the fact Penrith would, Brian Fletcher would like him to backflip. No doubt about that. But Matt Burton only a few days ago said, I'm not backflipping. And I think you'll find Trent Barrett will address this after the game today, and he will make it pretty clear that Matt Burton is not backflipping. So, you know, Brian might want it to happen, but the fact is it's not going to happen. And he's got a legally binding contract. It's not like the old cooling off period that we had back in the day where, you know, you could backflip after a couple of weeks. I think it was a 2-week cooling off period. He's committed. He said it himself. As I said, Canterbury will make it clear after the game today that Matt Burton is committed to the club. So, you know, I don't think Fletch is going to get his wish.
So with that signing of a contract, the only way that can be flipped is if the Bulldogs agree with Panthers, if they have some other, you know, we'll give you such and such with this cash, and they make some kind of deal.
I would have thought Canberra would dig in their heels on it because, you know, the way they're going, they need Matt Burton. And there's no legal way Matt Burton can get out of that contract unless Canberra are willing to let him out of it. And they would demand something in return, no doubt about that. And look, I don't think it's going to get that far, Tone. As I said, Matt Burton himself only a few days ago said, I'm committed to the contract, basically, or words to that effect. I think he was asked, will you backflip? And he said, no, I don't think so, no, basically. So, and as I said, Trent Barrett, I've exchanged texts with Trent today, and Trent said, it's not right, he won't backflip, and I'll address it after the game. So, you know, obviously Mick's spoken to Fletch, and Fletch has said, I think he should. I think it's in his interest. I'd like him to, but I don't think it'll happen.
Gerds is still backflip.
You're right. I think it's also an opportunity. I mean, obviously the Bulldogs administration made it pretty uncomfortable for the Panthers early on in the season when they didn't play him.
Yep.
They sat him on the bench. They said, well, maybe you should send him our way. So maybe it's just Penrith is having a little bit of a shot across the bow.
Well, you've got to remember there's some tension there, right? Because it's been a lot of argy-bargy between those two clubs in recent weeks. So the Arthur Laundy, the Bulldogs major sponsor, came out and had a shot at Penrith. And I think Fletch is just digging the needle back into them. But the other thing is, I mean, Matt Burton's a 5'8". You know, he's not a centre. As good as he's playing at centre right now, you know, and he's been outstanding.
He's not going to get pushed out of this 17 or the 13, I wouldn't have thought,
should
for the
he
rest
be.
Of the year.
He is a half, and he wants to play in the halves, and Canterbury will give him that chance, and he won't get that chance at Penrith.
No, he won't.
Why wouldn't he want to stay? I mean, it's at the moment they're in a window of opportunity which will last probably two or three seasons, the Panthers, if you count last year as well. And you look at what's happening at the Bulldogs, and of course you're going to have thoughts about it. But I think he's a pretty honourable kid. I think I think if he says he's not going to backflip, I don't think he will. Of course, Brian Fletcher wants him to stay. Apparently, the fans want him to stay. The way he's playing, he's arguably the best centre in the competition at the moment. And as you say, Rudy, he's not even a centre, he's a 5'8 halfback.
Yeah.
But, you know, good news as well as far as Cameron Serrato after the game, Trent Barrett, Ivan Cleary announced that he'll be staying. He won't be taking up the offer to go to Cronulla and assistant coach to Craig Fitzgibbon. So that's another big coup for Panthers.
Everybody wants to be at the Panthers at the moment. Or South Sydney, if you're Benji Marshall. He joins us right here, right now. Benji, congratulations. That was a masterpiece.
Oh, thanks, boys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Did you, can you feel, I was thinking about, you know, you're a 36-year-old bloke. You love talking about the game. These days, can you think your way through how much is going on in your head on a football field at the moment?
Oh, there's a lot going on, especially when you get older and tired and everyone says you're 36 every 2 seconds. So I actually forgot I was 36 for a while until everyone keeps saying it, but must be something to do with how old I am.
You're only as old as you feel, brother.
Well, that's true. It's just age is an attitude, according to the great Ronnie Palmer.
Are you? how do you wake up the day after the game, Bench? You feeling all right this morning?
Well, after a win, it's a bit nicer here, so it makes it a bit better. But no, I feel pretty good. You know, it just comes down to the work you do. Good, you know, like if you do the work in the preseason and you make sure you're fit enough to do whatever role it is. And you know, I haven't played a lot of 80 minutes this year, but playing in like 30 minutes stints in the middle is put you in pretty good stead for when you go back to the edge. And It's just not as hard being a back. That's why you respect the forwards a bit more.
Benj, what was it like at halftime? Because obviously you're in a bit of trouble then. What did Wayne say? And are you very vocal in the dressing room at halftime?
Yeah, I don't really like saying too much. I just find sometimes if you do too much talking, you know, messages get lost. It's more about the actions more than the talking. But yeah, Wayne touched on a few things. I mean, him and Jason brought up the fact that we weren't defending like we have the first sort of 6 weeks. And then attacking wise, we're just, you know, just not playing the way we know we can play. And we just came out the second half and completed. I think we completed 100% in the second half. You know, so, well, that's what won us the game in the end, having that much possession.
Well, it's definitely a tale of two halves, Benj. It's the first half belonged to a fellow Keebra Park alumni, Big Davey Fafita. When I heard you were in the centres, I thought, oh, please have him in the left centre. I'm not right. Please, please. when did you know you were in the centres?
I was saying the same thing too.
When did you know you were playing centre last night?
Well, I didn't play centre at all. I don't know who said I was playing centre. I was playing 5'8".
Ah.
I was always playing 5'8". He just named me. And I think he just like named me in the centres just so they probably didn't bomb Cody a bit at fullback. You there?
Yeah. That combination with Kalaua Matangi on that left side, obviously, I mean, you probably do little bits and pieces here and there, but with Cody dominantly playing down on that side, you formed a pretty quick combination with the big man. He's got some skills, huh?
Oh, he's, I reckon, in all of our team, out of all the young guys coming through, he's probably the guy I reckon is to take the next step, one of our future, like, young stars of the game. You know, I don't know, you just tell him what hole to run and he knows where to be at the right time. And I reckon, like, with the game, hitting holes is a bit of a lost art for back rowers. Yeah, not all of them can do it without having to be told what the timing is. Or, you know, I just said to him, run this hole, and he was there at the right time and just knew where to be. So he actually told me this morning, he goes, mate, stop strutting around. I made you look good.
I love it. Is Alex Johnson saying the same thing to you? Talk us through that amazing pass. It was a beautiful bit of work. Was there verbal communication? How did that come about?
No, to be honest, I was just pushing through off Cameron Murray. You know, he's such a great player. And the fact that he even got that offload away to me was pretty special. And I used to try to take Brimson on and goose step him, and for 5 metres I had him, and then after about 5 metres he caught me. And I was like, oh, I'm no chance here. So I looked back and he was probably 15 metres behind me, and I knew he was fast. And I don't know if you could tell, but the cover defenders were sort of coming across, and I had to sort of try and time it to where I thought he was going to be, not where he was, if that makes sense. And I reckon I threw it 10 metres in front of him, and he's so fast that by the time the ball got to him, he was in the spot where I was hoping he would be, but I think he learned from the one in the first half because I was off him. He wasn't in that same spot.
Benj, we touched on Dave Fafita before. He moved on pretty quick. Can you just give us a perspective? I'm not sure whether you came into contact with him last night, but give us a perspective on what it's like to try and tackle Dave Fafita when he's in that mood he was.
Mate. Well, I have played against him. I played against him in the All-Stars where I was on his edge and had to defend him. And he... the thing that he's doing really well at the moment is he wants the ball, you know, and he wants to score. Sometimes when you get players, they run just for the sake of running, and he wants to score every time he touches the footy, and I reckon that's what makes him, like, really dangerous. And when you put together someone of that size and speed, but his agility, footwork, skill, it's a crazy mix, man. And, look, I know people have talked about his signing and you know, how much he's been paid in that, but if you look at what he did in the space of 40 minutes last night, and he did it, I think, the other week where he scored a hat-trick, he's a pretty special player, you know, and they'll be hoping to probably get a bit more out of him with that sort of stuff. He was great.
When you get into the back end of your career, and we've all been there, it's sort of whether you play on becomes about how your coach allows you to behave in the preseason, the preparation for games, all those different things, yeah? So just explain to us how different that's been this year at South Sydney compared to how it's been previously at some of the other clubs. And if it's something you've enjoyed this year, would you consider going around again with this same next club year. Next year?
I ask him this every week.
I like how you're doing the roundabout way of asking if I'm not playing.
Yeah. Hit him between the eyes, brother. Just say you play next year or not.
No. Well, I want to also get out of him, you know, the South Sydney, though. Wayne Bennett's obviously got his own specific techniques. Are they working for you? They seem to be.
Yeah, mate. Look, when it comes to Wayne, I think the beauty of him bringing me to South is he understands what I can bring to the organization on and off the field. But in return, like, I was really desperate to play footy this year and have a club. And I think just the part of feeling like you're wanted at a club and like you know someone values and backs what you bring gives you confidence. You know, and for me, like, I might be obviously 36, but that still means a lot to me. So every week I'm just competing and trying to, no, not repay, but just give back that faith that he's shown to me to bring me to South. And look, I probably got a bit more game time than I was expecting, but, you know, I just enjoying it and just making the most of it like it is my last, you know.
You must enjoy it because also the quality of players around you at the moment is amazing. What you have with Adam Reynolds, Cody Walker obviously moved to fullback, but still with his playmaking ability around you. And as you mentioned, Cam Murray, you and he working sensationally together. That must be an incredibly positive thing for you.
Yeah, it is, mate. It is. I mean, I'm really lucky to be in the side that I'm in. You know, it's... although I might look like I had to retire, I think, you know, everything happens for a reason and I've ended up in a pretty good spot. Eventually, like, I feel like, you know, where I've landed at South Sydney is really positive. The fans are great. The team members are great. The coaching staff's great. And for me, the mix of all that put together is there's just no pressure on me to have to do anything or be anything. I just got to do my job for the team. And Wayne's really clear about that. And I guess... Yeah, we're 6-1 off the back of people just knowing their jobs and doing their job. And, yeah, I really enjoying that.
Ben, you saw Latrell in the footage last night. He had a pretty tough week, Latrell, obviously the judiciary, but then the news came out that he'd been racially abused on social media. I'm not sure. Were you aware of that? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What's he been like during the week and how disturbing was it when you heard that what had gone on social media with Latrell?
Well, when you talk, obviously, like, when you talk about that stuff, it's disgusting, mate. You know, there's no place for that. In,
low life.
Not just our game, but in society, you know. And unfortunately for Latrell, he's just such an easy target where he's such a caring guy who takes on quite a lot of responsibility when it comes to his culture and his Indigenous heritage. And he really stands up for what he believes in. And I commend him for that. And off the back of it, though, he does cop a lot of criticism and a lot of flack for that stuff. But yeah, and I always say to him, you have to back what you believe in. And to be fair, this week he has been a little bit down about it because, you know, people keep attacking you and attacking you. It can get to you. And he's just really lucky. You know, he's got really good guys around him and a really good family support network. And we got his back as well, you know. So I do feel sorry for the kid, though.
Yeah, he's a lucky guy to have all that support around. Yeah. Hey, Benji, it must also be humbling, even though, you know, you've got such a decorated career, to be able to walk into a really successful organisation like South Sydney and have an impact the way that you have, been able to speak your mind. Obviously, you've earned the right, but to be accepted the way that you seem to be, looking from the outside in, to have been accepted must be almost humbling for you as well.
Oh, yeah, it's the best, man. Like, you know, obviously, when you turn up at a new club, you have those nerves like you're going to school for the first day. And then, just from the first sort of day, Wayne said, oh, you're in the leadership group as soon as I got there. So I met with the leaders. And what I'm really good at, I think, is listening. And, I don't talk just for the sake of talking. I'll let everyone have their say and try and add value where I can. And the boys really have really made me feel comfortable within the squad. And, look, I don't do a lot of talking, but if there's something that I feel that needs to be said, I'll say it. But we got some great leaders there, Cameron Murray, Adam Reynolds, Damien Cook, Cody Walker, who take up the majority of the leadership, and I just chime in every now and again, mate. I feel like I'm getting a bit more credit than what I deserve for what's happening at the
time. Just take it, brother. Mate, soak it up.
When's the last time you scored 2 tries, Benj?
Oh, mate, I don't even remember when I scored a try.
So, Benj, you going round again next year or what?
There we go. Straight between the eyes.
If you work for the Telegraph, I'll probably tell you.
I do. We're one big happy family.
Sorry, mate.
I love it. Benji Marshall, congratulations on yet another stellar performance. Well done, mate.
All right, boys. Cheers.
Okay.
Cheers. See you, Benji.
We'll see you on Tuesday.
I've got to pull back the curtain here on this little interview because I... Mm-hmm. Didn't watch this game last night.
was the question about him playing centre, you mean?
Yes. I was at dinner with my 22-year-old daughter celebrating her birthday, and my son said, Benji Marshall's playing centre. I said, oh, gee, I hope it's not against Fifita. And he said, no, he's on the left side. I went, okay. And then I could see the monitor from where we were having dinner at reception. So it was about 15 metres away. So I could see all the tries, but I just didn't hear any commentary. And hence why I just said, you weren't great in the centre. <last night." laughs>
Yes, all the best insights right here on the Saturday. Yes.
No stone unturned.
It's interesting because Latrell's obviously going to miss four games now. I wonder whether Wayne just keeps Benji at six. I know he played really well, but he's 36 now, and you know I imagine backing up every week would be tougher for Benji. But you know, moving Cody to fullback, it's a big change.
You think they might, like the Swans do with Lance Franklin, give him time off rather
maybe.
Than...
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just throwing it out this. There. Just spitballing time.
Yeah, I tell you, well, while he's playing like he did last night...
What a term.
Yeah. You're so American. It's fantastic. Congratulations.
Dog.
Yeah, indeed. To Benji Marshall, you listen to the Saturday Scrum. We do it thanks to King G.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.